Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye bye.
Good evening, everybody. This is a Bergkamp Wonderland, and my name is Jeff. I'm an Arsenal addict, and this evening I am going to be hosting just the introduction. So the first guest we have tonight will be a chap that keeps London running. His name's Carl. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you? Long time, yeah. Jeff. Long time.
Yeah, it's indeed been a long while, isn't it, mate? You know, but I'm here. I've been missed on with the boys, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know why.
You have been missed, Jeff, definitely. I mean, we've had some resort to having like Chris Carpenter on, who, as you know, will carpenter anything up. But, you know, it's good to have you back.
Well, does anybody get a word in when Chris is on? Because I doubt it.
No, definitely not. He just talks about some silly league that's in France, some feeder league.
No, that's fine. Well, on the other channel there, you've got Big Danny. He is a baton monkey. How are you doing, Daniel?
Did you say baton monkey?
Button monkey, button. Oh, you know that might, you know, yeah.
I thought you could say Battenberg. I thought I could be that kind of monkey as well. I could be any kind of monkey if cake's involved. How are you?
Yeah, I'm bang on. You're looking well.
I'm looking homeless, Jeff. Look at the length of that hair. Yeah,
you could have been the old beard could do with a trim, but you're okay.
It's Sean's birthday on the 29th, the day of the final, and I said, "Do I keep letting my beard grow before then?" She said, "Hell no, get rid of it. So it's going to be trimmed down in the next couple of days."
Do you have any superstitions like that, Daniel?
Oh, remember we did this show, the listeners may remember, maybe about 4, 5, maybe 6 years ago, because we've been doing this now for, this is our sixth season. About 5 years ago, we did one, and I said to everybody, what's your superstitions? I went, oh, I'll wear this sock or these pants.
Yeah.
And I said, you lot do realise that it's not working, don't you? Because we have lost a game ever, because if these superstitions worked, we'd win every single game. It's like amazing when players go out and run out onto the pitch and they start praying. I'm thinking, well, if you're playing for Arsenal, praying isn't going to help, is it?
No. Carl, what about you? Do you have any superstitions while you're on?
No, not at all. I just hope and pray. That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I've been having discussions with my girlfriend about Pep Guardiola's grey cardigan. He's had the same cardigan on for the whole season now. It looks battered and it's bobbly. And I don't know. Don't know what you think.
I wear the same clothes all the time because I've only got one pair of trousers. I've got six of those all the same. And I've got this top, four of these, and I've got four of the red ones and one blue, and that's it. I just wear the same stuff every day. It looks like I don't wash, Jeff. It's awful.
You're all right, Daniel. Don't worry about it, mate.
Very, very good.
You want to get out dancing with me, I think.
Talk about the Valencia game, Jeff?
Yeah, why not?
Were you there?
No, I wasn't. I watched it on TV. Was I at the Valencia game?
Have you been in Spain in the last week, Jeff?
Mate, you know what? I've missed the last few games as it happens, to be perfectly honest with you. Globetrotting around, doing bits and pieces.
I've not left the house.
But no, you know what? I think, yeah, we was at the Valencia game. I do beg your pardon. I don't remember much about it, though, Dan. I've got to be perfectly honest with you. No, the away leg I wasn't, but the home leg I was. You're talking about the away leg. Yeah, I was terrified. Absolutely terrified.
Were you impressed with how we did?
Well, I'm impressed with the result at the end of the game, yeah, but we're still a little bit wobbly, wasn't we? I must be honest with you, I didn't fancy us. I didn't fancy us going out at our current form. Obviously, in 3 or 4 defeats over the last, I don't know, 4 weeks or something like that, I bottled it a little bit with Arsenal, which I don't normally. I'm very, very optimistic, as you well know, but our play wasn't very good, and we're going out into that game. I just thought, again, like we have done over the last 6 or 7 seasons, I thought we may drop out on the away goal. But lucky enough, when we scored that first goal, I thought, you know what, that's brilliant. But you know, the result was good in the end.
Yes, I'm surprised that that Valencia didn't defend or do a bit more defending, because they, as the 3-1 down from the first leg, they score after 11 minutes. Making it 3-2, and then I'm thinking, like you, oh wow, this could be trouble, Carl. And then Aubameyang got the first goal of his hat trick. Were you jumping and did you do the live show after? You did, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Ellis and Josh, yeah, it was pretty good.
It was. Do you know the result before? It was a 1-1 draw against Brighton at home, and you know, when you look at results like that, you think to yourself, what the hell is going on with the football club? He just looked devoid of confidence. So obviously going out to Valencia to try and, I think we had to score. That was the crucial thing, because Valencia were going to go all out attack. They had no choice but to. And as you know, Arsenal don't really do very well when it comes to defending, but especially when we conceded the first goal, like you said, Danny, it was kind of like squeaky bum time, because you think to yourself, you know, if there's a chance of Arsenal conceding one, there's a chance of Arsenal conceding two. It's very easy for Arsenal to do that. But when Aubameyang scored, I thought, okay, it's a bit better. I feel, you know, a bit more relaxed. And then when Lacazette got his goal, I was like, okay. I was confident then. After that goal, I thought, you know, almost home and dry, I was happy. And then Valencia scored again. It was kind of like, oh shit, what now? Come on. Because just, especially the results in Europe over the 2 days before, I mean, with the Liverpool result and also the Spud results, you know, you're thinking, shit, what's going to happen here? But then Aubameyang came up with his hat-trick and, you know, it was nice. It was nice for the club, you know, to finally get to the final. It was nice for Aubameyang to get his hat-trick, and also nice for the fans as well. Going out to Valencia, seeing that, you know, I know they were sort of up in the nosebleed seats where the away supporters were, but to see, you know, us play like that and us play rather well as well. I think, you know, the goals could have been avoided, but, you know, it's football. Sometimes you're bound to concede goals, but I think the all-round play was very, very good. And I'm just happy for Aubameyang to sort of, like, he's finished the season really, really well. You know, we'll talk about the next game, but, you know, getting a hat-trick this game, and hopefully he can carry on to the cup final.
Yeah, that would be good. Jeff, did you think that when it was looking like we were going to score lots of goals, because I can't remember the last time I've seen us do that much attacking. I'm just looking at the game here. And although we only had nine shots total that game, the Valencia one, we had five shots on target and scored with four of them. I mean, that kind of lethal finishing, because there's a thing that's came out today in the Premier League that we had the 11th highest number of shots at goal, but we broke the Premier League record for the most accuracy. And I think this game summed that up perfectly. Five shots on goal, four goals.
Mad, isn't it? That's a mad stat. I didn't realise that. It, you know, for me watching it, it was like a game of basketball. You know, it was like end to end, and what I was watching, we could end up five or anything. But I wish we'd have been a little bit tighter. But I think, having said that, I did think we had a good chance of nicking a goal out of there.
Mm.
And then if we nicked a goal, then it would put a lot of pressure on them. But then when they scored that second goal, I thought, oh, here we go. You know what I mean? Again, it was like Carl said, it was squeaky bum time. But we retained our composure, the composure that we have left, and finished the game really, really strong. You know, finished really well, and you know, I think we deserve over the two legs to win the game as good as we did, really.
It must have been so hard for them, because they knew that all they needed to get was a couple of goals, and they've seen us away from home, especially in the Europa League, and even after they score in that first goal, they've still got to push for more. And that's just when we like you said, it's basketball. They attack, we attack, but they couldn't not attack, could they? There's no point in that game where they could have sat back and gone, right, we need to defend this, because as soon as they scored 11, we scored in 17, we scored in 50, then they had to attack more with Gamero scoring again in 58, and then 69 we scored, and then they thought, oh my God, it's over, well, you ain't coming back from that. And then 88th minute, he completed his hat-trick. That's one of the most impressive hat-tricks I've seen. I think was our last European hat-trick, Lucas Perez?
I think it must have been, yeah.
Carl? I think it was Lucas Perez.
Look at him now, can't even get a game for West Ham. I had so much hope for that bloke. But yeah, I think Valencia on the night were pretty unlucky. But it's nice scenes at the end with the two managers giving each other a hug, because they both managed Valencia, obviously. And I think they both managed Sevilla, but they're both Spanish, they're both young, they're both tactical player managers, where it's like a game of chess at times. And you do this, well, I'm going to counter this and I'm going to bring this on. Saw a load of that in the first half, but... So, Carl, any final thoughts about that game before we move on to the Burnley one?
No, I was happy the way it ended, obviously. I think that just shows that we can, you know, there's always this hoodoo of we can't play away. It just shows that we can go away to Valencia and score four goals. Yeah, we conceded two, but it doesn't make a difference. You know, when Arsenal sort of play well when the chips are down, I mean, I know we could talk about the final three results of the final five results of the season not being very good, but I'm happy that Aubameyang can pull it out of the bag. I know there was some people talking about him being sold, which is just ridiculous. But I guess we'll get onto that later. But no, you know, if you can go to an away game and score four goals, and go especially away to Europe and score four goals, you've got to be doing something right. And I'm not saying it was the perfect result, not at all, but it just shows that we can do it. And we're in the final now, and that's kind of all that matters. You know, we just needed to be able to score the goal to get us to the final, and we're in the final now, and we've got a chance of winning the trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. Good point. Right, did I take it easy if you went all the way up north to Burnley, did you?
Why would you go up north to Burnley's? It stinks up there.
Yeah, they do cheap pies, and that'd be the only reason to go. Donkey pies. No, I've got, actually, didn't Burnley win a prize? Or was it Hull won prize for their best pies? Well, Bradford, wasn't it? Bradford, when we played him in the League Cup.
Only you would know that, Danny.
Oh, I don't eat pies, do I? Bloody.
That's true. No, it's true. That's right. Good pies, yeah. Bradford, apparently. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Sad to see them dropping back down the leagues again after that, those magnificent cup runs. And Alan Davies did the joint pod with their people. But
that's the Bantams. That's right.
Yeah, the Bantams banter.
Bantam banter, that's right.
Yeah, that was good. Right, Carl, talk to me about the Burnley game.
It was a game that there was something riding on it, because there was a chance that if Man United won and we lost, we could have ended up sixth. And I think that, not that it was a must-win game, because I think it was very cautious. We could have had one eye on the Europa League and one sort of forgot about this Burnley game. But we got a result. You know, it just shows, again, when Arsenal got almost nothing to play for and, you know, the pressure's off, we can go away to Burnley and score three goals. I mean, Man City struggled to win there, didn't they, just the game before? And we go away and we score three goals. So it's... I don't know. It's typical Arsenal, isn't it? Like nothing relies on this game almost whatsoever, and we go score three goals. I think the beginning of the game, it was very nervy. The first half was end to end, and I think Burnley kind of should have been a goal ahead. They were kind of on top in the game, but in the second half we showed our quality, and you know, Aubameyang, he was after that golden boot definitely, and he managed to get it because he scored the two goals, and he had a chance, yeah, the least two chances of getting his hat trick. One where Mkhitaryan crossed it in and he was in the center of the goal, and for some reason he put it wide. I don't know how he managed to put that wide, and one where he missed the header. But I think the only bad thing about that game was, one, the injury to Mavropanos, and I'm not that Mavropanos was ever going to play in Europe, because he can't. It's just the fact that I would have liked Koscielny to miss the whole game just to have a proper long rest, because there's always a chance he can get injured, because we're going to need him in the final.
He was hobbling around on one leg.
Yeah, so I didn't really want him to play this game at all, and unfortunately he had to come on, but he played well when he came on, so there's that. But no, there's nothing really much to say. You know, we ended up winning the game. They tried their best to try and injure us, because there's some horrible... I'm sick of this typical, you know, Arsenal don't like it rough. Arsenal this, Arsenal that. You know, we got up north and team tried to rough us up, and they tried. They tried their best. Their forward, is it Barnes? Yeah. He was all elbows all over the place, and they've got the defender called, is it Tchaikovsky, I want to say?
Yeah, both of them were tripped early on.
Yeah, he was like fouling our players for something. You know, we were just going in hard, and if that's the way they play, fine, but that's not the way football is. But we are where we are. At the end of the game, we won the game 3-1, and I'm happy.
What's your thoughts on the game, Jeff?
You know what? I've only seen the highlights, Dan, to be perfectly honest with you. But what I did see, obviously, the highlights are that, you know, they're going to be good parts, because Arsenal won the game eventually. But like Carl alluded to, it was so disappointing, because it was like a nothing game for us, and the pressure was off because we was out of the top four. Unless we scored eight goals and Tottenham or Chelsea lost 8-0 or something like that, some madness.
We needed Spurs to lose 4-0 and us to win 4-0.
Yeah, losing 4-0. Eight goal difference.
Eight was, yeah.
And it's just a shame, because we'd thrown it away in the previous four games. So going up to Burnley, having said that, they're obviously a tough side. They play with, you know, they're very brutal. You know the kind of game they play. There's not really a lot of stuff that goes playing along the floor. They're very aggressive. And you know what? To go up there and get a win, albeit it's the last game of the season, was good. It put us in a good frame of mind to go into the Europa League cup final. It's always good that you're coming off of a win. A couple of kids got out there and had a little runabout as well. It's good that we didn't have injuries. That was my biggest fear, that we would have injuries all over the place, because they are very brutal, that mob. They're very aggressive. Like I said, Deanna thought there might have been a few injuries that we might have suffered late on, but that didn't happen, thankfully. Mavropanos, I don't think, like Carl said, I don't think that he's going to be featured in the Europa League Cup final. So hopefully all our boys will be fit and we'll be able to have a go. But, you know, ultimately it was a good game, and, you know, what I saw of it, and it was a good win.
So that thing that the run of Palace, Wolves and Leicester, where we conceded 9 goals in 3 games, people are so quick to point that out as the point where our season fell apart. But when we were playing a game every 2.5-3 days, the 7 games before that, we had 6 clean sheets. And the only reason we didn't have 7 out of 7 is because it went in off that fat Everton defender's arse. So that should have been 7 clean sheets out of 7. So the only reason our season fell apart is that patch of playing 3 games in 7 days, 2 of which were away. So that shows that we don't have a strong enough squad, that it wasn't really the manager's fault. I mean, when you're playing Koscielny in, 5 games in a row, these kind of things, everything could just built up for us. And when to get to the final of the Europa League, we've played, I think, 15 games. I'm sure it's 15 games. Absolutely ridiculous. There's been so much fixture congestion for us. So, and as soon as the fixture congestion lays off a little bit, we've won 3 out of our last 4 games. We've scored 7, 8, 9, 11 goals.
Danny, if there was ever a time that you had to guarantee yourself a top 4 place, you had to play Wolves, Everton, Leicester, Crystal Palace, you would take that, surely, always. Because if you've got any aspirations of being in the top 4, you've got to take on them teams and beat them and do the job. What it boils down to is we had 4 chances there of really more or less tying it up, and we failed in each and every one of them. And it's you know, it doesn't bode well, does it, really?
Dear viewer, stroke listener, my volume is a little bit loud there because we've fiddling around with the volume levels, and I think I had it too high. Carl, with the Jason made the point, and I quite agree with Jason. He was making this on the live show after the Burnley game, that our season seems to have come down to one penalty, that penalty miss against Spurs. If Aubameyang would have scored that, he'd have got the golden boot on his own. I know in retrospect and hindsight, we can't change it. It's a wonderful thing. But if he'd have scored that goal, Spurs would have lost. They'd have had one less point. We'd have had 2 more points. We'd have finished 2 points above them in the league. They wouldn't get automatic Champions League qualification, and Aubameyang would have got the top goal score on his own. So looking back, that one so much pivotal point on that one kick. What do you think about that?
I agree and disagree with Jason. Don't tell him that. He didn't come after me now, isn't he? there were so many times in the season that you could put it down to results that we should have won. You could look at so many games. I mean, we drew with Crystal Palace away. We could have beat them, you know. We drew with Wolves at home. We, you know, that's a point there that we could have done.
Yeah,
you know,
we
lost to Southampton away. You know, that's points there. You know, there's so many. We drew with Brighton away, didn't we, in the Premier League? You know, I think there's so many games that you could look and think, why did we drop points there? Why didn't we win that game? Why did we win that game? I mean, I see what Jason's saying, because if we had won that game, you know, it was built for him, that game. You know, if against your rivals you get a penalty in the 90th minute, you know, these are the things that people dream of, and these are the things that, you know, if you're a footballer, you should do it. I mean, I can't stand players missing penalties, and I know this is a very simplistic view, but if someone says you can have a free shot at goal with one person between the sticks from 12 yards out, you've got to be scoring a penny, haven't you? Like, I know nerves and pressure, and I get it. Nerves and pressure get to people, and it did obviously to Aubameyang. But it's really, that game was very difficult to take. I'm sure, Jeff, did you go to that game?
I was at that game. Yeah.
What were the fans like when he missed that penny?
Just completely shot. It was unbelievable, because I just thought, you know, it's so close to the end of the game. I just thought you're going to tuck this away. I mean, the most disappointing thing for me was, I understand the nerves and everything else. But if you are nervous, you got to run up and just smash it, mate, and make the goalkeeper make a valid save. You understand me? That's in my opinion. You just got to make it, you know, just hit it, strike it hard. Well, he didn't, did he? And that's where the problem was. If you try and be a little bit tricky, it was so, so disappointing. But I think it is a bit harsh, you know, highlighting that that was the goal that cost us the top four place, because we had many chances that we just spoke about all the way through the season. You know,
yeah,
the,
definitely. Just wrapped it up. Definitely, some of the results were really hard to take. Like, I remember when we lost to West Ham, didn't we, in January? And that was like, what the hell? You know, it was just not good. And
Southampton away as well.
Yeah, we were 3-1, and that was like the manager's first game. 3-2, sorry, and the manager's first game. And, you know, Southampton at that time were like on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, weren't they? Or something like that.
Manager bounced, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's just like, and, you know, the last 4 results in the Premier League just goes to show you that we just weren't good enough. And we just about beat Watford with 10 men. And that's a game. If they had 11 men, I think everyone can be honest and say we would have won that if they had 11 men. No way would we have won that, I don't think.
Well, this is my problem. It's crazy. It's crazy that Arsenal are struggling to compete with teams like Watford. So, you know, we're better than those teams, aren't we? And at the moment, we're struggling. You know, our results against them, like you said, if they had 11 men, Watford, we might have struggled in that game. It was shocking, wasn't it?
And I think all we needed was, like, you think the Crystal Palace one was probably the hardest one out of the lot to take, because our home form up until that time was absolutely phenomenal. I don't think we lost a game at home, did we, apart from the Man City game?
Yeah.
And if anyone could think of a banker, that would have been the Palace game. You'd be thinking, right, home to Palace, we're definitely going to win that. And we go and concede 3 goals at home, and you think to yourself, what is happening with this Arsenal team? Is it confidence? Is it ability? Is it management tactics? Like, do you know, what is wrong that we can't be at home and beat Crystal Palace?
Yeah, well, it's true. Well, did he make the subs again at half-time? You know, so didn't he make 2 or 3 subs again at half time? Was it that game? Was it the Brighton game? One of them. Yeah, he keeps on making these subs at half time. Now, to me, that is him conceding that the lineup he sent out in the first 45 minutes is wrong.
It did, Jeff. He's Iwobi on for Maverick Arnold and Maitland-Niles on for Jenkinson.
Yeah. So when you're making changes like that, I do listen. It's not something that Mr. Wenger did for all those years. We know what Wenger was like. It was on 70 minutes, he'd make a change. But, you know, to go out and make a change, not many managers change like that at half time. I think Mourinho's done it a few times in his Real Madrid days and stuff like that. But to make a significant change like that, bring on 2 or 3 players at half time, is more or less saying, okay, well, it's obviously not worked the first half, and the side that I put out in the first half hasn't worked. So, you know, there's mistakes there that we've got to get over. I still don't realise. I still don't believe that he knows his first 11. I know he's got to change from team to team.
Or because of he likes to change who he plays against and sees what their formation is. And like you were saying, he likes to make the early substitutions, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What if he doesn't know his best 11?
I don't know. I still think the problem is that he's not happy with the personnel that he's got, and he's still trying to fit them into a system that you know, helps us for that particular game. But I don't think the players that we've got are capable of you know what, really taking us any higher. They don't seem to have that that mental ability.
So, looking at the squad that we've got now and sort of looking at the season that just finished, do you think that 5th was, or maybe 4th, was the best that we could have hoped for?
Yeah, definitely. Really, to be perfectly honest, I think we're on par with where we are most probably supposed to end up at the moment. You know, I mean, Tottenham, they're riding high. Got a great team. You've got to admit it. It kills me. It pains me to say it, but they've got a great side. They're playing great football. Very, very attractive football. and they've got some great players, and I'm very surprised that they haven't been picked off those players yet. I can only imagine it's because of the promise of the new stadium, and they'll get this kind of contract, and you've got to move into the new stadium and everything else, Champions League football. But I do think that they are, but over the next 2 years, their players are going to get picked off and they'll drop down again. I'm hoping they will anyway. Liverpool spent a lot of money. City, you know what they've spent. I'm very surprised that Manchester United, I think they've underachieved and we've parred it. So otherwise, they really, for spends, they should be above us. But, you know, we've got so many ordinary players, in my opinion, and I don't think we're nowhere near. We're so off the pace. It's incredible, mate.
I mean, even we were, 2 points off third place? And I think, do you remember the season that Leicester won the league? And, you know, I think every single team underachieved that season, and that was kind of a missed opportunity. Would you see this as a missed opportunity? I mean, like you said, fifth, we're on par, but we're only 2 points off third.
Yeah, but it's not, even second is no good. You've got to win it. If you're going to win it, you're going to win it. And I don't know how many points, what were we, 30, 28 points or something off the top spot? 28 points off of top spot. That's the one you've got to be aiming for. Don't worry about third or fourth. You understand me?
You can't see us doing that in with the modern era of Man City, Liverpool, Man United all spending more money than we're worth.
I've been banging on about that for 4 or 5 years now, Danny, haven't I? You know, there's a correlation of what you spend generally throughout the leagues, throughout Europe, throughout the leagues. There's a correlation of spends and where you end up in the league table. And I think that is exactly where it is. How are you going to compete with Man City? All right, you say, well, then Leicester pop up. Yeah, you will get these teams that will pop up every now and again, but then they'll lose all their players the season after, like Leicester did, and they'll drop down again, which they did do. But Man City, they've just got so much money. They're looking to spend another maybe 60 or 70 million pounds this summer, already strengthening again a top quality team, you know. But they're strengthening for the Champions League now, I would imagine, not only the Premier League.
Well, that's if they get in it, because aren't they might have a ban from the Champions League this season or next season, sorry.
I was listening to the Love Sport Radio, and they were saying that that UEFA are investigating their sponsorship deals and saying they're not true sponsorship deals. Then they could be banned from playing in the Champions League. Then they won't get the money, and that's worth about £100 million a year too. And this is what the people on Love Sport Radio are saying, worth £100 million a year. Then they won't be able to spend any money. Then they, at the moment, the Premier League, and I think someone else are looking into Chelsea and Man City for transfer irregularities as it is. But I don't care about that. I would happily finish fifth or sixth or seventh and let Man City win the league, as long as it stops Liverpool winning the league. So thinking for people who didn't know, the Football League began in 1888, so that's 12 plus 19 is 131 years. There's only two teams that have gone a season and lost less games than Liverpool: Preston North End in the first season, invincible; Arsenal 2004, invincible. In the history of football, no one has ever done that. And for those Liverpool fans, again, we have lost one game all season and you still haven't been champions. That's going to warm the cockles of my heart until I'm old and greyer, isn't it?
No, of course, I understand about all that, but that is in the past. It's a long way away now, and during that era, it's amazing that I'm so disappointed that we never won the Champions League. But we've got to look forward, and unless there is something done, i.e., they sort out the financial doping, because that's what it is, right? Or Arsenal gets sold, or Kroenke starts sticking a few quid in. This is where we are. This is what we've become now. We're fighting with the likes of, you know, we're fighting for points with the likes of Watford and you know, the teams of Wolves and all that mob. That, you know, and we're having to compete. Whereas before, we'd have just railroaded them straight out. Boom, you know, you're nailed on certainty. We go 1-0 up early doors and just crush them. But nowadays, it's everything. It's a game. It's very, very difficult. And it's going to be a long while. Until something happens, it's going to be a long while.
So, Jeff, do you think that we need to start looking behind us rather than in front of us? Do you think we need to start worrying about the Wolves and the Watfords and the Evertons of this world rather than worrying about the Man Cities and the Liverpools and the Chelseas of this world?
No, not really. I mean, I still don't. I think Wolves and Leicester and all that, they're all going to be like mid-table teams. Again, what will happen is their top players, they've got two or three top players in there, they'll get picked off by the bigger teams or whatever, or they're just the teams above them, and they'll drop down again. You know, and again, there's a correlation of spends. And like I said, I think we're about par. With regards to the Chelsea and Man United, you know Man United are going to come back. No matter what happens, they're going to 100%.
They're going to pump so much money into this season, haven't they?
Of course they are. They've got top. They've got top players there. They're just not performing correctly. It was amazing to see the difference between a Man United team at first 7 or 8 games under Ollie, and then to the last 7 or 8 games, it was unbelievably dramatic. And there's obviously a problem. They've got their own issues, but Arsenal, it's very, very difficult when you're looking at a transfer budget of 40 or 50 million in the summertime, when it's quite clearly we need, you know, you could clear half of that squad out. It's sad, but you really could, you know, to compete with the Champions League, to compete with the Premier League, we are nowhere near it. We're half a dozen players away.
That's true. I always give the analogy that my mate Sexy Frank, he's one Christmas 15 years ago, I'd saved up all my one and two p's all the way through the year to play poker. I don't play poker. So my brother came round. He's a poker genius. He had 40, 50 quid with him. Frank was here. They took all of my money in about 4 minutes, because Frank is one of them people, much like Man City. If I go, well, I'll raise it this, he'll raise it. I'll put my mortgage on it. I'll put my house and kids and wife on it. And he'll just keep doing that. And that's what Man City do. And I just went, well, yeah, just take all the money, because I cannot compete with you two chucking all your money in, not only because you're better than me, but you've got more money than me. And that's how it is with Man City. If I was a club owner, I'd look at that and go, well, Man City are not going to be able to do this forever, nor a Man United, nor a Liverpool. I know I said that before, and Jason pointed out that Liverpool have made all this money from selling Coutinho to Barcelona. But with Man City, we can't compete with them when it comes to buying a player. I mean, even look at the Juan Mata thing many years ago. He was agreeing to come with us, and then Chelsea came in, offered his Spanish team more money, offered him more wages, and that's what happened. So we can never, either you go all in and risk bankrupting the club, but not that Kroenke would ever do that, or we just go, yeah, we're never going to finish top two. Maybe get third one day. Maybe an FA Cup. Maybe get into the quarterfinals of the Champions League if we invest a little bit. We're never going to be able to do it. Because if you get teams like in Spain, where they're corrupt because the government helps out Real Madrid and Barcelona. And so they get away with it. You go to France, and then they let PSG get away with whatever they want, much like Man City get away with whatever.
As far as again, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And so I just go, Arsenal fans, look, we're just going to not bankrupt the club. We're going to settle back in midfield, into the top half of the table. And then we're going to invest in youth. We're going to just do everything like that, because there is no point playing, like, how much money have clubs been playing for bang average players and giving them £200,000 a week? And that brings me to my point that I was going to make, Carl. Ozil this season, I didn't realise until someone pointed it out. He's played 24 Premier League games. He's got 2 assists. Isn't that his job? All competitions this season, 34 games, 3 assists. How is that? That's just...
It's Ozil was an enigma. And I'm sure that the three of us could talk about Ozil all evening. Jeff, just quick one-word answer. Would you sell Ozil, yes or no?
Fuck it. It's difficult. I would love to keep him, right? But you've got to spend a lot of money to get him into a position where he's going to control games, because the people around him are just simply not good enough. Put it this way, I think he could play. He is most probably our only player that could play in the Man City team.
Yeah,
but I will challenge you on that. You're saying, so I personally think at the precise moment, we've got two of the best strikers partnership in Europe. I don't know of any other partnership like we have. So if you put apparently the world's best number 10 behind the best partnership that we've had maybe since Henri and Bergkamp, why is he still not getting the assists? If you think to yourself that Aubameyang has got 22 league goals, and I think 30 goals this season, Danny, Aubameyang,
all competitions, has got 31 goals in 50 games, and Lacazette has got 19 in 48. So between them, they've got 50 goals.
And you think of that, Ozil's only assisted 3. I don't know who's assisted, but Ozil assisted 3. So I think he has got the team around him. He's got the strikers in front of him, definitely, to put the ball into the back of the net. But I personally would sell Ozil for one, just to get his wages off the wage book, because I think
350
for 350 grand, paying him for 3 assists this season is not good enough. I know he's got some goals, and I understand that, you know, people can don't confuse the style of his goals with the rate of his goals. And I think that's, you know, it's really good when he hits the ball into the ground and it goes in, and it's absolutely brilliant. I love them goals, but £350,000 for what he produces on the pitch is not good enough. 350 grand and he can't go north. You know, there's no reason why he couldn't have gone to Burnley. And, you know, he doesn't go to these difficult away games. Now, if you got your star player and he can't go to difficult away games, why is he in our squad? What is he giving to us? But like you said, Jeff, there are times when he can produce absolutely brilliant stuff. It's just the fact that when he does it, it's very few and far between.
He's unbelievable, you know, because he does tear the whole fan base apart. Half of them love him, half of them, dislike him, because he's got that language style. He doesn't, you know, if he's not bossing a game, and he hasn't bossed that many games this year, I must be honest with you, not really, you know what I mean? But if he's not having a decent game and not getting on the ball, going back the other way defensively, he's a passenger, so you're more or less playing with 10 men. But he is one of the players that can turn a game for us because of his quality. And you've got to find a way to get him on the ball in those final third areas where he can hurt teams. And if you don't do that, you're just not getting the best out of him. So you've got to find a way. I believe that you need better players around him with regards to the players that are passing the ball to him. Because he can select, he is brilliant, and those two players up top, if you've got, I mean, that three of a triangle, Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Ozil, those three players, they are quality players. There's no doubt about it.
But don't you think that he should find a way to fit into the squad instead of the squad trying to find a way to fit around him?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I know it is a difficult one though. Obviously, he's had personal problems, or he's had issues this year. He's definitely had issues.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll get a bit of a bye with regards to this last season. It's not been one of his best, but he's on contract. He's definitely still one of the best footballers at the club. We've already let another one of the best footballers at the club in Aaron Ramsey go for free to Juventus. This summer, I wouldn't really want to, you know, otherwise we do really, we've got too many ordinary players already in my belief, right? We the players that we have got, those three players that you named, they are of good quality. They're the type of players that we need right away throughout the team.
Is it a case of if we sell Ozil, who do we get to replace him? Because we're not going to get the money to replace him. And if you do replace him, you are looking at maybe 40, 50 million to try and replace a player like Mesut Ozil. And we just don't have it at the moment.
No, it's true. That is true. But it is the wage bill. Maybe you would get it off. Maybe that's the way they're going nowadays. If they could offload him for that £350,000 a week, they could invest it in a good young player. I'm not going to name any because, you know, you get all them people on Twitter. Hey, what's he talking about? He don't know what he's talking about. So, but whoever they are, whoever they would select a good young player, good, reliable young player that could do that job on 100 grand. And you'd be able to invest in another, maybe two players, a couple of young players. Maybe they're going down that road where they've got to try and find these players and bring them in and nurture them and they grow into the team rather than you're buying that that finished article, so to speak.
But then if you're a player like Mesut Ozil, why would you leave? You're 31 years old, earning £350,000 a week. There's no way that no other club is going to pay you that. You're coming to the end of your playing career. Yeah. Would you really leave?
No way in the world. No. So that's his last contract. That's why he got that kind of money. Arsenal, they thought he was worth that kind of money. and they're about to give it to him. There would have been a massive scream in the fan base, by the way. You know, the hypocrites saying, oh, well, you know, how can you let him go? Mesut Ozil, blah, blah, blah. Same as I was saying about Sanchez. Well, how can you let him go? Well, 500 grand a week, we couldn't pay him. That's the reason why. Or 400 grand a week or whatever he's getting at Man United now. And the same might have happened with Ozil. There would have been a massive scream up that, oh, we let our best players go, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right, fair enough. But, you know, we might have saved the money and we might have invested in a couple of young players. Maybe that is the way we've got to go now, because we're not going to do it. We haven't got the backing by Kroenke, obviously. And we just simply haven't got the players that we need to compete at a high level nowadays.
I'm just looking at the stats here. If you break down Ozil's number of minutes in divided by 90, he's played 26 games this season. That's if he played the full 90, 6 goals, 3 assists. And you look at Ramsey, who they've both roughly been playing in the same kind of position, then Ramsey's only played 23 games, 6 goals and 8 assists. Now, you look at when their style of play. I think the problem for Ozil, I can argue for and against him, and I think for arguing for him, no one's giving him the ball. Now, Ramsey is more than capable of running back into midfield, getting the ball, and then bringing it forward, and then giving it to the strikers or out wide. Ozil doesn't seem to be able to do that. Sometimes you see him tracking back. But if you're not supplying Ozil, when we're playing Torreira and Xhaka and on Guendouzi, I mean, Guendouzi's done nothing all season. Guendouzi's stats, 47 games, 1 goal and 2 assists. When I know he's a young man, he's only 20, he was 19 when he started. But we have no creativity from the midfield too. So we can't keep playing Torreira and Xhaka because they do nothing. I mean, no, they do nothing attacking-wise. God, he said they did nothing at all there.
But I can run with Guendouzi. He's a young man, and I like his enthusiasm. He's all over the pitch. He's very combative. He's that type of player that he's primed for the Premier League. And if he keeps on progressing, I fancy he could be a top player in 2 or 3 years. Torreira, same again. He's okay. He gets his foot in there. He's that type of player that we've missed for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, if he was been playing three years ago, we'd have actually won the league. You understand me? Mm. That defensive midfield player that just cleans up everyone's mistakes.
How many pods have we spent?
Keeps the ball simple.
How many years have we been saying, all we want is a defensive midfielder? And now we've got one. And in fact, we've probably got one and a half, really, haven't we?
Chaka, I don't know how he's getting a living at Arsenal, mate, Chaka. I've got to be honest with him.
He's come out in the paper, didn't he? Did an interview or he was quoted as saying that he would like to progress his career and maybe move somewhere else. And I think that could be a big thing for us. I do love Xhaka, but I'd love to see Torreira in midfield as the one defending the back four, and then have someone like a Ramsey playing next to Torreira in midfield, and then I reckon if you had that, someone creative as an anchor between the defence and the attacking three, then I think that could help Ozil play so much better, Carl.
Definitely. We need somebody... You're right what you say, Danny. We need someone a bit more creative, you know, playing two quote-unquote holding midfielders. And I can hear John Wells screaming at me saying, Xhaka's not a holding midfielder. But, you know...
Where are they playing?
But he's meant to be a deep-lying playmaker. I'm assuming that's what his role is kind of meant to be. But he doesn't do it. I mean, again, I want to say to people, don't get confused about the odd long-range shot that he has. You know, yeah, he's got a lot of shot on him, but he doesn't score as many as he should. I think the most noticeable one was against Man United, I want to say, where De Gea had a wobble that season, but yeah, you're right, Danny. We need someone a bit more creative. Now, it's weird us saying that when you have, you know, possibly the best creative person or player in the world in Mesut Ozil, you know, but he just doesn't do it. And you're right, we need someone like, if Ramsey was still there, to drive the ball from deep, to give it to Mesut Ozil to do what he needs to do. But obviously now we've lost Ramsey, and we then need to replace Aaron Ramsey. So that's more money that we need to shell out, where we got other departments on the pitch that needs replacing. You know, we need to replace Petr Cech. We need to replace Lichtsteiner, because I think he might be going, possibly an upgrade on left back. You know, Mustafi, is he good enough to be there? Will he still be there? Who knows? We've got so many, like Jeff said earlier, we could clear out half the squad, and it probably does need replacing, but unfortunately, we don't have the funds to do that.
Carl, question, Carl, question for you, if I may. $300,000, Ramsey. Would you keep him?
Yes.
So
because it's hard. The reason why I would do that, because to replace a player like Ramsey is going to cost you easily 40-50 million. For $300,000 at 28 years old, you're getting at least what, 4 seasons out of him? You easily. I mean,
they wouldn't need a season to bed in, would they?
No.
So you'd still get the, obviously we know Aaron Ramsey inside out, and I would be very reluctant to, because I know Aaron Ramsey. You've seen him over all of his games that he's played. How many games he played for Arsenal now, Danny?
Is that because of his injuries, Jeff?
Most at the club, he's played 369 games and scored 64 goals in 11 seasons. I think it's 11 seasons he's been here.
I'd like to bet I've seen 99% of those games that he's competed in. Uh-huh. And we know what he's like. We know what he's capable of. We know what he's not capable of. And I wouldn't go nowhere near giving $300,000 to Aaron Ramsey. I just don't think he's good enough.
But then
he's good enough for the team that we've got at the moment. But like I said before, he's not good enough to take us onto that next level.
But you think to yourself, I can name a couple games that he'd come on and change. So Spurs at home, when we was losing, he came on and he changed that game for us.
He did.
Yep.
I know it's a mad thing to say, but I think pound for pound, apart from the cup winning and everything else, he's most probably had his best season at Arsenal this season. Ironically, it's the season's leaving.
Yeah, and he's going to be missed. I mean, he needs to be replaced. That's 100%. He has to be replaced. We can't go into next season and not have that sort of midfielder, who can drive from deep and get into the box. I don't know to compare him to this player, but Frank Lampard, he was that sort of person who arrived late into the box, who would just get you the goals that you kind of need.
Swap him for Lampard any day of the week. I'll swap him for Lampard now, mate.
No, I don't. I like Ramsey. I think he's going to do very well at Juventus. I think he's a player that we're going to miss. 100%, we're going to miss him, no matter who you bring, because he's the sort of player that you can kind of rely on.
Let me ask you another question. Is he irreplaceable, Carl?
No player is irreplaceable. Not one player in, apart from, okay, unless you're going to say someone like Messi or Ronaldo.
Ronaldo and that like.
Okay, those players are, because you'll never get another player.
Okay, is he irreplaceable in an Arsenal team?
No. Because there are players like him that you could come in. Yeah. But it's dependent on whether we can afford those players, Jeff. Like we've been saying, we don't know how much money we have. And we've literally got zero for him. So it's not like we can say, oh yeah, we're going to use some of that Aaron Ramsey transfer fee to put towards another player, and they were
you got the wages that we might have offered him, $180,000 or something. I don't know.
But then it's not just him that we need to replace. I mean, we could go for the squad now. We've got to replace Cech, Lichtsteiner, Welbeck, Mustafi might leave. We got to replace Ramsey. We got to replace. So there's so many players that we need to.
Yeah. Danny, have you done the maths? How much are we saving with regard to those players leaving? Is it a couple of £1 million or something? Well,
Cech's on about 100, Ramsey's on about 150, so that's 250. Lichtsteiner, I think it's about 450, 500. I remember seeing a tweet about it. So rather than adding it all up, it's going to be about £500,000 a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is, that's a bit of money. That's what I'm saying. If you can get the players in, you can
go on, Carl.
I'm saying there's other players like Mkhitaryan. He's on about 250 that I personally would sell him in a heartbeat because I don't think he's good enough for Arsenal. And him off the wage bill would be lovely.
I agree with that.
Mkhitaryan's our third top goal scorer this season, along with Ozil and Ramsey, with 6 goals.
I mean, the thing we have got going for us is we are still a very attractive football club to play football for, albeit we're not in the Champions League at the moment, but we could be back in the Champions League next season. We've got a beautiful stadium, beautiful training ground, and it's a very respected football club. So we're not like in the situation where other teams may be that are below us, where
And I think we need to remember as well is that, remember, Chelsea can't buy any players. So it's not that we're going to be competing with them and they're going to lose Hazard. So even then, next season, I mean, I know they've got like, what, 40-odd players out on loan. So some of those are coming. But at least we don't have to worry about Chelsea strengthening, at least, because they can't.
No. Well, he's pulled the handbrake up as well, hasn't he, really, a little bit, Abramovich? You know, he's pulled the handbrake up considerably. They've obviously got an issue with the manager next year. We don't know who's going to be in charge over there.
The fans want Sarri out.
Yeah, generally the fans want Sarri out, don't they? Because football's been drab and you know.
But speaking of, Jeff, quick question so we move on. If we don't win the cup final, should Emre leave? Would you, if he got fired, would you condone it?
No. You've got to give the man a chance. You've got to give him a chance. The same as I said that with Wenger down the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he really is. It all depends. You can't. It's very difficult to compare. We're not going to win the Premier League. People thinking that we are going to be competing for the Premier League, they are absolutely deluded because of the money that Manchester City do spend and the quality. Their second 11 would most probably beat us 8 out of 10 times. Right? Let's be realistic about it. So to overcome Man City is going to be, it's an impossible task, and it's going to take too many years. So we're fighting on the cups, in the cup front, and unfortunately that's how it's going to be. But what I can see him doing is, if he can get a few players in and nurture them, and they grow as a squad together, he can maybe. We can be one of those pop-up teams like Leicester and like Tottenham have the last few years. They've kept their players. They've got some good players in there. They've bought well. And if we can do that, there's no reason why. But he's got to be given a chance. He's got to be given that. He's got to be given a full term of 3 years. I think he's at a 3 or 4 year contract. A 3 year, isn't it, I think, Carl?
Yeah, I'm sure it's 3.
Yeah, well, I think you've got to give him the full term, unless we fall off a cliff and come 8th, 10th, 9th, 10th or something like that.
So if we don't win the Europa League, what would you class this season as, I don't want to say successful, because successful is winning things, but would you class it as a good season if we don't win the Europa League?
You know what? It's a good season for me because I really didn't expect to get to the Europa League final. And I thought we'd par off at 4th, 5th or 6th, something like that. So with me, and especially how the season has gone, right, I would have took that at the start of this season, at the start of last season, pardon me. You understand? Mm. When he first took over, I would have definitely taken coming 5th. I maybe wouldn't have taken coming 5th. I would have taken coming 4th. But, you know, being a realist, you've got to accept that you know, you've got Liverpool and Tottenham, and they've got some good teams up there. Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man United, Man City, they are teams that, you know, you're going to be competing against, hopefully. If we come 5th, that's fair enough. He got us into a cup final, a European cup final as well, which is good. It'd be great if we go on and win that tournament. Then it'll be a great success and good for him. It'd lift the club, give us a chance of better players coming in, because we'd have obviously more money to spend, hopefully being Champions League money you could invest, and then we might crack on. That's, you know, that's all we can do. But our best hope is cups this year, not league. You got, you know, we struggle.
So Danny, can I play devil's advocate? We all want to get into the Champions League. Why do we want to get into the Champions League if we don't have a chance of winning it?
So we can do podcasts again on a Thursday night. That's the main thing. All the games have happened. I suppose the main reason is because the amount for winning the Europa League. I know Man United, when they won it a few years ago, they got £13 million. I think when you win the Champions League, you can get 50 or 60 million. If for being in the Champions League, you're going to get more for the group stage in the Champions League. With money than you are going to get for winning the Europa League, or there's some kind of stat like that I read. It's just mainly to be in it, and we're a good enough team. If we keep Lacazette and Aubameyang, and then we're in a good enough team to score the goals and get through to maybe the quarterfinals sometimes, and getting that far is going to... Remember in the days of when Lyon, when they were doing it, they weren't doing that well in Europe, but and they kept being there and they kept getting the money, and then they were running away with it in France, and they won 7 titles in a row.
Yeah, so it's just I do believe that we have got more chance of winning the Champions League than we do the Premier League. So that's why I think
Jeff, we've got more chance of winning La Liga than we have winning the Premier League.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm just looking at some stats here. When Emery was manager of Sevilla, he won the Europa League, and the season they finished fifth in La Liga. So we're fifth. No, we're not. We're fourth. The next season, he went on to win the Spanish Cup and won the European champion. What's it called? Super Cup. European Super Cup. And finished third in La Liga. And the third season that he won it. And this is spread out wrong. Anyway, so he didn't go on to do anything else. I was trying to find out, did he go on to do much in the Champions League? But I think back then, if you won the Europa League, you didn't go through to the Champions League. This was 2005, I think it was. Was it Sevilla that he won it? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I was trying to find out whether you win the Europa League next season, you're in the Champions League. How did he get on? Did he get knocked out early? But I think only one of those seasons that he went and did that, and they managed to win the Europa League and then go into the Champions League the next season. And I'm just going to go and have a look at that season. How far did they get? Oh, it's not going to tell me, is it?
So what's your thoughts on Emery, Danny? Do you think that he's done well this season with what he's been given? Or do you think that he's kind of underperformed?
I'm abandoning that finding out about the Champions League. I think he's done well. If you could go back to the season and go, what are the most important lessons we needed to have learned? One, if Bellerin had played right back all season, then we wouldn't have been playing three at the back. Then they would have freed up one more person in the central midfield, because then Monreal was injured. So if you'd have had Monreal, Koscielny, Socrates and Bellerin, that back four with Leno playing behind him, that's one hell of a defence. Then you could have had another man in the central midfield. Then we could go back and say to him, well, we would like Ramsey to play. So you'd have Torreira, Xhaka, Ramsey playing as the more forward of the three. Then ahead of them, you'd have Ozil, and then you could have one or two strikers up front. And then you're getting the ball from the back, you're playing it out to the midfield. Then the midfield's giving it to Ozil, and Ozil's giving it to the strikers. So it's just, if he'd have had the whole players fit and he'd have realised that tactic that you need to play Ramsey. I mean, Ramsey's been brilliant, whether he plays in the 10, whether he plays in the more 8 role, all these things. If looking back at it, there were the mistakes that were made. Some were forced, but were done by himself with the constant changing of tactics. I think some were bad luck with losing, playing Man City and Chelsea first two games of the season. That was really hard on them. And then with the injuries, constant injuries, having your captain out for so long, take out one of the best right backs in Premier League football from any of the other teams, apart from Man City, and they're going to struggle to cope with that all season. Let alone, I mean, I did actually try and figure this out, that how many times has Emery been able to play our best back five? I think virtually zero, because at no point have they all been fit. Because they always say that you build a decent team from the back, don't you? And then once you stop conceding goals, and as the season's gone on, Holding came into his own and was playing really well. And we've had, so with them at the beginning of the season, there were goals, everyone scoring goals. And then we went to the part of the season where the defence was working really well, and then we weren't scoring goals. And now towards the end of the season, the defence wasn't working, but we're starting to score goals again. I just think it's just need to be patient. And it's next season, these things will click more often. And if we're a few players in, a few players out, and I'm really looking forward to next season, really confident that we're going to do it. But like you're saying, Jeff, we're not going to win it. I don't even think we've got second.
Carl, did you see a lot of difference between last year's Arsene Wenger team and this year's Unai Emery's team? Overall,
probably no. I think that the only thing that kind of, if you look at the results, they were kind of the same. I mean, we had a few more results against the top, call it six, top 16, because we beat Chelsea. We obviously lost to Man City twice, drew with Liverpool at home, lost to Liverpool away, beat Man United at home. We drew with them away.
Took 4 points off of Tottenham, didn't we? I think.
Yeah, took 4 of Tottenham. I'm going to say 4 of Man United as well, didn't we? Didn't we draw Man United away?
We were against the top four, which is what you're talking about. This season, against the top, against Man City home and away, Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool and Spurs, we got 12 points. Against them last season, 6. Season before that, 9. Season before that, 11.
Hmm. So there's been a steady increase, which is good. The problem is that with Arsene Wenger's there's not much difference between this team and Arsene Wenger's last team, because there's not many, there wasn't many additions. The only thing you can say was Lichtsteiner, which I could kind of leave or take. I know people like his shithousery, but was he good enough to play for Arsenal? No, he wasn't.
He had Lino, Lichtsteiner, Socrates, Torreira, Guendouzi.
So
team that would make their way. One was a kid, one wasn't, was released by Juventus. The other one had a horrendous season with Dortmund. So none of them were top quality, apart from Torreira, who had a magnificent season with...
I think Torreira is all right. He deserves another chance.
He started out really well. But then
no, I think he'd be all right. You know, I mean, that's the only thing that my gripe is about, that I just thought that Arsene Wenger's teams struggled defensively. I thought that once we'd got Unai Emery in, he was like a kind of a very organised defensive type of coach. And I've not seen any change. I've not seen any change at all. We're still giving away the stupid mistakes again, stupid individual errors. I know it becomes individually. But maybe it is again the personnel. If he hasn't got the right personnel, you can't make a silk purse out of a cow's ear, can you?
I was just going to say that to you, Jeff. Do you think it's more personnel rather than coaching? Because I'm sure, and we can talk about some of the players we've got, but you know, I just want to focus on Mustafi at the moment, because sure. I'm sure that between Steve Bould, between Arsene Wenger, between Unai Emery, yeah, and the rest of his coaching staff, he's been told, don't slide in, stay on your feet. And if someone keeps on doing it, then surely then it becomes like, just not good enough. And I know the age-old adage, oh, he's won the World Cup. Forget all that, because I can name probably five shit players who have won the World Cup. And it seems weird me saying that, a shit player that's won the World Cup. But Mustafi, at the moment, is just, I don't think he's good enough to play for Arsenal.
True. Very true. There's a few players like that, though, you know.
You can't rely on him. I mean, sometimes he's had good games this season. Sometimes he's had a lot of average games. But when he's done those clangers, most of them resort to him just sliding in on his arse. I mean, like I was saying to Chris about that in one game, I said he did that really well. He slid on his arse, took the ball out, and then put it out for a corner. And Chris made the really good point, which I didn't think about. He said, yeah, but what if he'd have missed? He might have given away a penalty, might have given away a free kick. Most of all, he's out of the game.
It's not only him, though, is it really? I mean, Socrates ain't putting up no trees, is he? I mean, he means well, and I like his fight and his desire, but he just, I don't think he's got that. Listen, like I said before in the past, there's a level, and that top quality level eventually comes down to that mental ability, that quality, especially in the last 15 minutes of games, where you just concentrate right up until the end, and we just haven't got that. Mustafi is an absolute walking nightmare. And Socrates is very much of the like. Even Koscielny's been struggled over the years, you know, with that elite mentality, and that's what happens when you buy them top players. Virgil van Dijk, you don't really see him making that many mistakes in the last 15 minutes of a game, do you? Really, you know.
I was looking at the yellow cards this season. It's been amazing, and we've got Xhaka 13, Guendouzi surprisingly 12, Socrates has got 12. Mustafi has got 9, Kolasinac has got 8, and Torreira's got 7. I mean, a centre-back pairing of Socrates and Shokrad, and Mustafi and Socrates have got 21 between them, and then Xhaka and Guendouzi having 25 between them. They've lost so many games. Like you were saying, Jeff, they've been a bit stupid, because some of the games they've missed have been really important games for us. We've really missed them.
I never thought 18 months ago that, I would really, really miss Rob Holding and Hector Bellerin, you know, because maybe a year ago, 18 months ago, Hector was going for a bad stage, and Rob Holding couldn't really cement a place in the Premier League team. When he come in, he was like a different player this season, wasn't he, Rob Holding? You know, if he continued in the form he was playing, he would have most probably got the player of the year for us this year. It was that good, you know. And it was a shame we lost two players like that for long-term injuries, two defenders, and that really upset us. So hopefully they can come back again next year, and you know, with confidence and have a right go at and getting us, you know, up a few levels. You know,
would you take Callum Chambers back? Into the squad, Jeff?
No, not one bit. I've watched him for Fulham a few times last year, and although he was playing in midfield a lot of the time that I've seen him, he's just not quick enough about the pitch. I don't think he's got the ability to play. I think Fulham and Cardiff and teams like that are his level, I'm afraid.
Well, we've been going an hour now. I think we should move on to listeners' questions, shouldn't we? I can get my cat to get her ass off my arm. I shall cut and paste them and put them in the window. Carl, do you want to read them?
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll do it.
Okay, right, here we go. Boom.
Ooh.
There you go. There's quite a few, some really good ones in there and a few silly ones. So off you go, Carl.
All right, the first question is for Jeff and it's from Peter Kenley. And it is, if Middlesex win the Champions League, is anyone giving up football like I am, or should it not affect me so much? So, Jeff, if Tottenham win the Champions League, has life as we know it come to an end?
Oh, no, it won't come to an end because we've battered them for 25 years and we'll always have that to come back at them with. But to win the Champions League, would you know, even getting to the final the other day, I can't remember feeling so depressed. Even when we got done in the Champions League final, right, I was just happy to be there and everything else and watch the game. Barcelona, we was a little bit unlucky, but Spurs getting to the final the other day, it set me back, mate. If they win that, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to be like. I really don't know.
I don't care. As long as they don't win the Premier League, that's all I'm bothered about.
I just think,
but you know what? And going on that, just it is so Arsenal, you know. It is so Arsenal. They get done in their final, and we win our final.
Yeah,
we can only hope. I couldn't stomach Tottenham winning the league, Champions League. Genuinely, it'd just be the worst thing ever.
Not true.
Okay, Danny, this is for you. This is from Alfredo, and he says, "Say we own the Champions League, and I give you 150 million transfer budget." Do you think we are able to build a squad that can challenge the likes of Liverpool and Manchester City?
Well, there's another tangent to that is the wages bill. So if you're going to have to take wages out of that, which I don't think he does mean, but there again, I think each season the wage bill can go up by, I'm sure Fife said it was 7% plus any other income you get. Like if we win the Europa League, we're going to get maybe 15 million. We're going to get TV money. But 150 million, what's that going to buy you? We need a world-class centre-back, a world-class creative midfielder. There you go. There's your 150 million gone. So that's no way near enough. Like we were saying earlier, like you and Jeff were saying, we could get rid of half of that squad. If we had 500 million, then we could go and buy enough world-class players, tempt other players that are really good to leave the clubs that they're at with high wages. But there's just so many facets to that. 150 million, that's nothing.
Question for you now, Carl. Our Josh has asked you, has the quality of football we played this season deteriorated from last season? Or are we looking at Wenger's last season through nostalgia-tinted glasses?
A little from column A, a little from column B. I think any result that we get that's better than last season, we're obviously going to say, Arsene Wenger could never have done this, but... I don't think our results have been that good this season. I mean, I'm not just looking at the last three games or last four games, although you have to kind of look at those and think, was that the benchmark this season? I know what you're saying, that you can only, you know, we can't compete with Manchester City and Liverpool, but like you said, Jeff, we should be beating the likes of Crystal Palace at home. We should be beating Wolves. We should be beating Leicester. You know,
especially when it matters, when they know it really matters them.
We should be struggling to beat Watford. And yeah, do you know what? We beat Watford and I'm happy about that, but we kind of struggled. And, you know, like I said, when our backs are against the wall, that's when we struggle. When nothing really matters, we can go away to Burnley and put three past them when Man City couldn't just about beat them. So it's kind of things like that that kind of annoy me. So I'm not advocating the manager leaving because I know that's a question I asked you, but I think that his ideas have got to be better, because if he can't beat the likes of those three clubs that I just mentioned, then something is wrong. I would say.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to go back on the questions. Alonso Spencer, yeah?
Yeah. So this one's for you. So where does Monreal rank amongst left backs? Where does Koscielny rank among centre backs in the Emirates era? He says he asks because they're getting older and do they need a proper send off when their time is up?
Yeah, you know what? I think Monreal's been a great servant for the Arsenal. It was two or three of them season, maybe two or three out of the last five, that he was most probably my best pound for pound performer, most reliable performer. I think he's just gone over the cliff. Just gone over the cliff now. He's just gone over the edge a little bit. I think he's on his way. I think he'll be on his way out of the club very, very shortly. I don't know what his contract's like, but if he's got a year left, he might see it out. If he's out of contract, then I think we'll be looking for someone else. But to rank among the left backs, Ashley Cole was Cashley Cole.
He's just saying the Emirates era. So just as
the Emirates era, yeah. You know what? Good player, Monreal. Very, very good player.
Says Monreal's contract is up this summer. 30th,
is it? Yeah.
According to Transfer Market.
Yeah, well, I think you've maybe seen him play his last game for Arsenal, I reckon, in my opinion. Koscielny is a quality centre-back. I think he may be the best that we could be, best of a funny bunch, really. But he's nowhere near the invincible team. No, I don't think so. Not nowhere near that invincible team. But he's just up there with it as well.
No, that was the best team that I think we ever saw. So definitely not. But Koscielny, like you said, he's players are allowed to deteriorate, you know, with age and injuries and things like that. And just sometimes they're just not as good as they once were. It doesn't mean they're a bad player. It just means that they're not as high or as good as when they were when they first come in. And like you said, I think Koscielny has been brilliant for us, but even him with his injuries and his age is kind of catching up to him, and he's just sort of regressing a little bit.
I think it's only the injuries. I think most defenders, they mature, obviously. They mature in the game with the age and the time that they've played. You know, they understand it a lot more, and they get to a stage where they can guess the first two or three yards. You understand me? But Koscielny's had significant injuries, especially to his Achilles tendons and stuff like that, that have stopped him, and he's lost that yard of pace, hasn't he? You can clearly see that. But top quality centre half for us, though, mate. World Cup winner as well, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, like I don't think he's been bad for us. I just think that, you know, because remember when he had a partnership with, I want to say, Vermaelen.
Yeah.
They couldn't play together. They were far, far too similar. And obviously,
Vermaelen weren't good enough.
No, because even now, like, he's gone to Barcelona. Yeah, you've not heard of him, but no, Koscielny's done well for us. Like, I remember his debut getting sent off against Liverpool, I want to say.
Yeah.
Do you know, I think everyone was like, who's this player? Like, he's obviously shit. But no, he hasn't. He's come in and he's done well for us. And
Bosch's probably been our best centre-half for the last 5 or 6 years, hasn't he?
Oh, 100%. I mean, his partnership with Mertesacker was very good. I mean, when they played together, they played very, very well.
I think he's still got a future, though. I think I'd have him for another year.
Oh, yeah. Even just to, if we get a good centre-back this season and he sticks around, even just to sort of bred that new centre-back in, whether it be a young gun or someone more established, you know, he can't play every game. Next season, I don't think he's got it in him to play as many games as he has this season.
No, true.
So we definitely need another person. And especially with, hopefully, they'll get rid of Mustafi. I think we do need someone else to sort of come in and help Koscielny or replace him.
28 games this season, Carl. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's mad. Absolutely mad.
He's even scored 3 goals. One more goal, and that'd be his best goal scoring season for us ever. But it is sad seeing these players get old. And I think, like you were saying, Jeff, with Monreal, he has lost a yard. But that's why I think moving him in the centre back, in the three, will help. If he does stay, that will help prolong his career. But I think if they both might get one more year because Shelny's contract is up next year. Monreal might get a one-year extension, but if they, maybe next year might be their last year here. And just for a little bit of a chuckle, Vermaelen's been at Barcelona for 5 seasons and played 34 league games.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go on with the question. So, Christian Anderson says, my confidence right now is a cool. 5.
Hmm? Oh, that's, don't read that one.
Oh, why'd you put it?
Fast forward on one. That's when I was inviting you two to the call. I've put this in the wrong place and deleted it. I hadn't forgot to delete it.
All right.
Richard's one.
Cactus Cash.
Yes.
He says, number one, this is for you, Danny. Top non-Arsenal players, top three non-Arsenal players you've seen in the flesh.
Zidane. Mm-hmm. He came to Arsenal. We played him in the Champions League. Baggio playing for Juventus and Del Piero playing for Juventus, I think. I mean, I don't like Zidane as a person, but the other two, I like them as a person and I like them as players. But I suppose, yeah, those three. I mean, I've seen people like Romario, Ronaldo, the real Ronaldo, not the other one. I don't remember seeing Messi play. Again, I stopped going in 2008. So, yeah.
All right. I'm going to leave number two that he's put in there, but I'm going to say this to you, Jeff. Number three. So, what?
Number two.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's Richard, isn't it? Who's done shows with us to call him a tit.
All right. So, Jeff, what three non-player related changes would you like to see the club make for next season, and i.e. revamp ticket exchange, etc.? So, apart from players, what would you like the club to improve for next season?
Recruitment, obviously. It's related to players, I know, but definitely recruitment. The ticket exchange definitely needs a revamp because it's shocking. You can't red members. I had an all e-tickets nowadays for everybody. You know, like there are most other clubs, and you know, I know most other clubs. You can send your e-tickets to anybody rather than any account. You know what I'm saying? So you've got to have your own account. Sometimes it's tricky at Arsenal. If you've got a ticket that you can't use, you've got to stick it on the exchange rather than pass it on just straight by an email to one of your friends or someone that may use it. You understand? And you've got to use them cards and stuff like that. Third one. Atmosphere. You've got to find a way to get the atmosphere right at our gaff. I would maybe put all the singing section next door to the away fans and make it safe standing.
Fife has just put in our WhatsApp group, Wolves are bringing in safe standing next season.
Yeah, good shout.
Are they allowed to?
I don't know.
Well, obviously the government, because that, remember, it's a law that you've got to have seating. It's not just a thing. Yeah. So obviously they must have found some way of okaying that, which, you know, I'm not from the area of standing. I'm far too young for that. But it would be good. It would be good. I mean, the times that I've gone to Arsenal, I mean, Jeff, you will know as well. You go to Arsenal, you stand up, and then within about 20 seconds, you've got a steward coming to tell you to sit down, which is quite annoying.
Yeah. You can't get the proper atmosphere. You know, to sing and make a noise and make a good atmosphere, you need to be standing up rather than sitting down, can't you? Of course, we all try and have a little sing song when sitting down, but it's not the same as when you're standing up, you know?
No.
Well, we've got the rest of these to do and the Fife form in the next 15 minutes.
Coming up. All right. Right. Noir Confidential says Mino Raiola has been suspended from all activities as an agent. What now, Mkhitaryan?
Maybe he can get suspended as well, eh?
But surely Mino Raiola is not stupid. So all he'll do is pass his players onto someone else, and then, because he doesn't have to be involved, but you know, his sister, his brother, his cousin can do it. So there's ways around that, I think, to do it. And do you think we're going to be able to help the fact that we've already played in Baku this season and we're more familiar with it compared to Chelsea at this stage? Or do you not think it matters?
No, don't make no difference at all.
I think it might help a little bit.
Grass is green everywhere you go, everywhere you play.
Yeah,
all right, Danny, this is again from Noir Confidential. He says, people lord Liverpool's comeback against Barcelona and Spurs is against Ajax, but they belittle our glorious comebacks against mighty Bate Borisov and even mighty Rennes. Double standards, or do you think it's something else?
Hate is gonna hate.
And the last one, this goes to both of you. It's from Nikki Wilson, my friend Nikki. It's a shame he comes from Norwich, though. Oh, can't stand him. 5 cup finals in 6 years. Why does everyone moan all the time? Top four is not a trophy. So in the last, okay, let's call it 6 years. Yeah. With the investment we've had into the club, do you think we are where we are? Do you think we have overachieved, underachieved, or do you think we're on par?
I would take 5 cup finals in the next 6 years all day long.
If all those years we went with no cup finals, I think we're doing, any Premier League team would be proud to have made 3 FA Cup finals, a Europa League final, and a League Cup final. And that's for me,
amazing.
A football fan, that's what football's about.
Yeah.
Cup final day outs. I mean, I've been to about 6 or 7 in my time and lost most of them.
Spot on. Well done. Great shout.
Carl, what do you think, Zach? That's a good question.
Yeah, I think
try and get over that.
I mean, we all want to win a trophy, definitely. But, you know, there are teams in the Premier League that will kill for what we've had. And they've had much more investment than we've had. So, you know, I think definitely. Do you know what I mean? And so I think we moan because we always want to be better. You know, we look at our rivals. We look at the likes of Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea. They are our rivals. And they've won the league very, very recently. But they've had much more investment than we've had. Yeah. So, you know, it's where we are, where we are. But at the end of the day, like Jeff alluded to earlier on the pod, we haven't got a player, we haven't got an owner that's going to invest into us. He's not. So we kind of got to be self-sustaining. We have to be a self-sustaining club, and we're going to spend the money that we make. And that's what we can do.
Right. Shall I move on to 5-4?
Go for it.
We've been doing 1 hour 20, Jeff. We'll have you done and dusted within 10 minutes.
God bless you, Daniel.
Lovely.
Got me dinner waiting.
Hey, yeah. Don't say that. I'm going to have dry Rice Krispies for dinner, I think, because I'm a
fan. No, wrong with that.
This week there is, especially when you're sitting there eating them out of the bag while watching telly. I'm dropping them all on the floor. Oh, dear. Five form question. How confident are you on it? You two can answer this after I've read out all the answers. How confident are you on a scale from 1 to 11 that we will win the Europa League final? Because that was what the dial on. What was that rock band thing where the dial went from 1 to 11? You know, the film, Jeff, from the 80s.
What's this? What? What's that?
They had an amp where the volume went from 1 to 11 rather than 1 to 10.
No.
Never mind. No. Okay. Alfredo says 7.5 out of 10. Tone says about a 3 or a 4. Cactus Cash, which is Richard, says, can I offer you 5.5? I think that's about as much optimism as I can muster right now. Noir Confidential, around 7 or 8. On his day, Hazard can win games on his own and might be extra motivated considering it will probably be his last and final game for Chelsea. This does worry me. And even though we played well against them this season in a one-off game, anything can happen. Gunnar Craig, very confident we'll win the Europa League. Alonso Spencer, I say about a 6. We will probably concede 2 goals and then score 4. No Laguna, I'd say a 6 for the final. While Hazard does scare me, the fact he's off to Real Madrid makes me feel that maybe his heart won't be in it. God knows we've had enough of that over the years. Mike, which is from the bloke from the chat box and the live shows, he says, I'd have to say 6. The 2 times we've played them, we've sort of had their number. The doubt is because of our ability to shoot ourselves in the foot and poor league form, especially when teams go for it against us. Jimmy R. says, about the 6, we've proven we can do it for big games, but I'm also well aware we always have a ricket in us. No Laguna as a... Hold on. See, now this person's now said a 5.5, splitting the difference. And Jonas says a 6. Emery has a thing for cups and big teams. So before we do our gentleman's nods, Jeff, what's your rating from 1 to 11 to win the Europa League? Are you on mute?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, Dan, to be honest with you. It's a toss-up, mate. You really can't tell what's going to happen. I think it's a completely even game, and whatever happens on the night anything could happen. Honestly, you know, we could go out there and score a couple of goals early, or we could just have a mare and lose it in the last minute of the game. You just never know what's going to happen. I really can't call it. I wish I could.
So, if you had to put all your Tesco's vouchers on, you had £25 in Tesco's vouchers, what would you put it on?
I'd spend £7.50 and keep the rest for now.
Carl, what do you reckon?
I think we'll win. I do. I can't not be confident, or I can't say in my heart of hearts that Chelsea are going to win. I want us to do well. And like Emery, someone said, Emery is kind of a cup final specialist. So I'm hoping that he'll do the business and Chelsea will have an off day and Sarri will smoke his way into a coma.
I'm going an 11 out of 11. We have Giroud's number. He's the one they play up front for in the Europa League. That's the only place he's scoring. Fati, Hijwan, he won't be able to do anything. None of the players really like the formation and the way that Sarri is playing under them, apart from the bloke that he brought with him from Napoli. Napoli. I'm sure it's Napoli. And Hazard, it depends whether he turns up. And quite often he's down tools and not bothered playing. So there you go. Right, while you two think about your gentleman's nods, this is the podcast official gentleman's nods for all the lovely people that have got some dirty cash and stuck it down the front of Jason's wife runs, or indeed Josh's Lycra shorts, because he hosted one of these shows. Ariane Hadari, Nikki Wilson, Benoit Messier, Mr. Boblegs, Alonzo Spencer, Dean Robinson, 83, Marquise Hodges, Richard Morris, Mika for Life, Dom Lloyd, Jamie Fitzgard, Sam Ruth, Mika for Life again, our own Stefan Selby, Tierno Barry, Gabriel Gomel Kaufman, J Rob, and Yvonne Okofor. Thank you very much, you lovely people.
Thank you, guys. Much appreciated.
Carl, your gentleman's nod.
No, Danny, my shout-out. Behave yourself.
Oh, you're not shout-out. You're not 12.
Shut up. The last person that followed me on Twitter, and it's going to go to Finbar McMahon. That's Finbar_MCM. He's just started following me, so thank you very much. And my shout-out /gentleman nod go to him.
Oh, Jeff.
My gentleman's nod goes to the one and only Lord Hillwood, our old pal Steve, mate. He started on this podcast together, me, you and him, Daniel, didn't he? Is that right? Still here now, he's still fighting away, God bless him, and he gets my share. He's a top man.
Lovely jubbly. And we won't be doing any more podcasts now until we're probably going to do a preview before the day before the cup final. So who should I give my... I think I'm going to give my gentleman nod to all 14 people that are a part of ABW. Without you beautiful bastards, I wouldn't have been able to do this on my own. Admittedly, I'd be able to do most of it, but not all of it. Because it involves having to get out of bed, which is something I don't do. So thanks to everyone who has got up at silly o'clock if you're in the in North America, or you've been doing live shows at 11:30 at night when you've got work the next morning. So without you lot, this wouldn't get done. I know people always say thanks to me. All I do is press record. Other than that, you lot keep it going.
So, no, Benny, you do so much more. So don't put yourself down. You edit the shows. You're the one that do all the stuff. So no, thank you.
I edit the erms. Right then, gentlemen. Jeff, as you open the show, would you like to close the show?
No, you're right, Dan. I'll leave that to you, mate. I don't close nothing. My door's always open.
Hey. Right. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
And thank you very much for joining us tonight, Carl.
Daniel, always a pleasure. Never a chore.
Lovely jubbly. Right, dear viewer, /stroke. Listener, it's been an absolute joy doing all these podcasts and all these live shows for you with you all season. We've done, I think, 57 live shows. We've done probably about another 45 other podcasts, whether they be specials or whether they be normal podcasts. We've only got one more show to come, the live one, and that's after the final. I won't be on. I'm not sure who's going to be on, but we can do it. We are the Arsenal and we are the winners. You remember that. You say that as you go to bed at night. Thank you very much. And goodbye.
Come on, you Gunners.
Bye-bye.